From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Oh, you're nice. We got a great show for you today. We got Baz Luhrmann, the director behind Moulin Rouge and The Great Gatsby, coming by to play our game. But first, you probably saw this. The media world was horrified when billionaire Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon.com, bought the venerable Washington Post. What would this mean for the future of journalism? What about journalistic independence, excellence, integrity? Well, all we can say is, Mr. Bezos, if you're listening, is you can reach us through our website, waitwait.npr.org, or use the cell number I sent you in all of those emails, or you can use our regular phone line, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hey, give us a call even if you're not a billionaire. We still want to hear from you. In fact, hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Bennett Ulmer from Philadelphia, calling you today from State College, Pennsylvania.
I see. You're trying to stay mobile.
I'm trying to, run away.
All right, good plan. Well, welcome to the show, Bennett. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, it's a winner of Last Comic Standing and host of the Who's Paying Attention podcast, Mr. Alonzo Bowden.
Hello, Bennett.
And next, it's a writer for HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, Mr. Adam Felber.
Hey there, Bennett.
And lastly, making her debut as a panelist on our show, it's a singer and songwriter whose new album, The Worst Things Get, The Harder I Fight, The Harder I Fight, The More I Love You, is out now. It is Nico Case right here. Welcome to the show, Bennett. You're going to play Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win our prize. Carl Castle's voice on their home answering machine. Are you ready to play?
I am, yeah.
Okay, here we go. Your first quote is in two parts. The first part is from last year.
A red line for us is, we start seeing a whole bunch of chemical weapons being utilized.
And here's the same person again this week.
I didn't set a red line. The world set a red line.
Who seemed to forget about the time he set a red line?
I guess that would be President Obama.
It would be, yes. He said, you know, if Syria uses chemical weapons, they'll cross a red line. Then they did. So Obama was like, I'm going to count to three, Syria. And now he's stuck like one of the, you are when you're a parent. He's like, okay, two and a half.
You are not going to get dessert, Syria.
It does seem, though, the world has gone mad. You've got a guy who won the Nobel Peace Prize who wants to lob missiles. The Brits won't go along with a war. The French will. John Kerry has become interesting. Even Congress has gone topsy-turvy. Republicans are singing, give peace a chance. It's nuts. Everything's backwards. Crotches are tweeting pictures of their congressmen.
I don't think Congress is going to okay it.
You don't think so?
No,
I
do not think the United States wants to go to war over anything other than imaginary weapons of mass destruction.
That's true. But how about the Democrats? They have a problem. You know, they want to support the president, but they're anti-war. What do? Their solution has been to protest their own hearings in Congress. I ask myself, have I no shame?
How many more young men and women must die before I get the message?
All right, Bennett, here's your next quote.
Your humble servant was not elected by the people of Russia to be pleasant to someone.
That was somebody explaining why he wasn't going to be pleasant to President Obama this week. Who is it?
Would that have been Vladimir Putin?
Yes, indeed, Vladimir Putin. A lot of Putin fans here. That's great. He does look good with the shirt on.
There you go.
Mr. Putin, to use the delicate, subtle language of diplomacy, is a pain in the ass. He is blocking the UN from taking action on Syria. He gave asylum to Edward Snowden. Now, of course, he's hosting President Obama and other world leaders at the G20 summit. He made his distaste for us known by having Obama sit at the small nations table. That's a card table they set up in the kitchen near the main banquet. That was okay, but it really bothered Obama when he had to make the toast with grape juice. That was like...
No, Putin's a killer, but now he's settling for being just a needler, right?
Yeah.
But with Obama right now, he's sort of like, you have something on your shirt. Made you look. Also, by the way, I not only have Snowden, I got your nose.
Could Putin maybe be upset just because he found out that the Baltimore Ravens Super Bowl ring is nicer than the New England stolen Super Bowl? Like, he stole the wrong ring.
One problem for America right now is that Putin his government has been cracking down on gays and lesbians in Russia. This is surprising, coming from a man who often has himself photographed shirtless standing next to bears. People want to punish Russia for their new homophobic laws by taking away the Winter Olympics. That'll be coming up in like February of next year. But is there any better punishment for a homophobic country than making them host the Winter Olympics? because you know what they say, if they outlaw homosexuality, then only outlaws will compete in ice dancing.
That's really going to be great, isn't it? Just to have ice dancing, figure skating, just the whole program over there, and it's just knowing it's going to drive him crazy.
He'd be sitting there in the welcome, he's going, what is with all these spangles?
Why am I wearing this singlet again?
I always find myself in this singlet at the end of the day.
It's Why blinding, but I am so aware of myself as men. I don't understand my feelings.
This is a very touching scenario we've come up with. I'm imagining Vladimir Putin standing there in his, palatial apartments, holding up, like Johnny Weir's stolen outfit up to his neck. And a tear comes to his eye, And you flash back to his father saying, "No, put away skates! You to me!" "You will be KGB officer, an autocrat, and tranquilize bears." And he says, "Yes, Papa."
And then he yells, "Your foot poetry is for girls."
Okay, Bennett, here's your last quote.
"I have to say, I'm a little bit out of it right now. Seawater."
That was a woman named Diana Nyad. She was talking on Monday as she became the first person ever to do what?
Swim from Cuba to Florida.
Exactly right, yes. All of us, especially older people and people with swollen lips, were given a huge boost of inspiration this week. Ms. Nyad is 64. She first attempted this feat in 1978. That is 35 years of trying to get from Cuba to Florida. She is the only person on Earth who would have gotten to her destination faster by flying Delta.
But there's an asterisk there because the oceans are drying up. So it wasn't as... Sorry! Somebody had to say it. It wasn't as long a swim as it was in the 70s.
Yeah, basically, you just walk. You walk a bit, you wait a bit, you're there.
Nothing.
Yeah, because that 4 feet that you got to walk made it so much easier. Yeah. Do you think there are literally thousands and thousands of Cubans saying, "You mean they let us in if we swim over?"
Oh, yeah, they're all going to be showing up. They're all these Cubans. Yeah, I'm Diana Nyad. Help me in.
I think Diana Nyad is a password.
Yes. Carl, how did Bennett do in our quiz?
Bennett, you had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Well done, Bennett. Thank you. Thank you so much for playing and giving us a call. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Alonzo, as we continue to look into the NSA scandal here in the U.S., the British Defense Department is dealing with a scandal of its own. It's just been revealed its staff spent more than $60,000 on phone calls to whom?
The new baby George.
Oh, no, look at the little baby.
Apparently, no one at the Defense Department in Britain has a watch.
Oh, yeah, somebody out there knows.
So they were calling
calling Zappos or something.
Why would you call Zappos if you don't have a watch?
Because you can get any accessories on Zappos.
Oh. They were calling to find out what time it is.
Exactly right. They were calling a number called the speaking clock that tells you what time it is.
In the UK, who were doing this?
Exactly. And staffers called it so many times that they ran up bills of tens of thousands of dollars. The defense ministry tried to ban the calls. They even distributed lists of websites that you could go to that will tell you the time.
Or a list of phones that set their clocks automatically.
That are
in your
pocket.
That list is all of them now.
Yeah.
Yes. When you dial that number and you pick up the phone, shouldn't it be like, listen, you idiot. This is the only thing that's not showing you what time it is right now. your phone, your watch, your computer, look out the window at the digital clock temperature thing at the bank. Just don't ever call me again. That's literally what it should say. Just...
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Alonzo Bowden, Adam Felber, and Nico Case. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. To play any of our games, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. It's Mike in Clover, South Carolina.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fine. What do you do there in Clover? I've never been there.
I'm a senior software architect for Zipit Wireless in Greenville, South Carolina.
So you're a software architect. You're building things, but only notional things.
That's what I dream them up, yeah.
Yeah, that's important. And what do you do for fun there?
A lot of things. I like... I'm a nerd, so, you know, anything is always fun.
Yeah. Knock me over with a feather, a nerd. Well, it's nice to have you with us. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Mike's topic?
Step into my office, baby.
Here at NPR, it's performance review time, which, as any office worker knows, can be pretty scary, especially if you are the worst employee in the entire world. This week, our panelists are going to read you three news stories about people who are terrible at their jobs. Guess the real story, and you'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail. Ready to apply?
Yes.
All right. First up, let's hear from Alonzo Bowden.
Sometimes those who can't do really do teach. The worst swim instructor in Philadelphia can't swim. Ludwig Jones got a job as a child swim instructor at Rolling Acres, a small country club. The problem is Ludwig can't swim. The man is 6'7" tall and would walk on the bottom of the pool while faking the arm strokes of a swimmer. He was found out when he almost drowned after accidentally walking into the deep end of the pool. The lifeguards thought he was clowning around since they knew Ludwig was a swim instructor, but when his screams moved from yelling for a friend to screams of panic, they knew something was wrong. It was an easy rescue, said lifeguard Jim Wilson. The hardest part was for us to stop laughing while pulling him out of the pool. Now, how does this happen, one might ask? A swim instructor who can't swim? We asked Ludwig's supervisor, Arthur Ames. Well, said Mr. Ames, Ludwig was really popular with the kids. He was here every day helping the kids swim, and they loved him, so we bypassed the normal swim tests and just hired him. When word got out Ludwig couldn't swim, Mr. Ames himself got written up along with Ludwig. Now, unable to fire Ludwig due to his seniority, the only thing Mr. Ames can do is give Ludwig scores of 1 across the board on his annual review and assign Ludwig duties like blowing up pool inflatables and cleaning the kiddie pool every night.
A swim instructor who can't swim himself. Your next story of a problem employee comes from Nico Case.
Scottsdale, Arizona. Plastic surgeon Dr. Michael Pope is facing 3 malpractice suits for accidentally injecting 3 people, 1 woman and 2 men, with an enzyme called caridalasium, which is a sulfite extract that is made from shrimp feces. The plaintiffs were in the office of Dr. Pope for standard Botox injections when the error occurred. Mr. Alan Greer, one of the three plaintiffs, was rushed to an emergency room in the nearby suburb of Chandler, Arizona, when he went into a state of allergic anaphylaxis. It turns out the anaphylaxis was not from the shellfish toxin, but from an allergy to cat dander, because the man had gone home after his injection, and he had fallen asleep on his couch, at which time his neighbor's cats came into his apartment and licked him all around the mouth.
A plastic surgeon who injected his patients with shrimp feces rather than Botox. Your last story of an employee needing some extra training comes from Adam Felber.
The shortest distance between two points may be a straight line, but navigators on the high seas know they have to account for wind patterns and currents, and something that experts call land. Someone should have offered this helpful tip to Polish freighter captain Tadeusz Dudek before he charted a course from Scotland to Belgium whilst overlooking one little detail commonly known as England. Yes, one very short journey later, and the good ship Danio promptly ran aground at the Farne Island Nature Reserve in Northumberland. But it's not just Captain Dudek's fault. Investigators say he was using an unapproved GPS and had actually created a course with just two positions, Scotland and Belgium. Also, he had forgotten to turn on the bridge's alarm system. Also, the first mate who'd supposedly been on watch was asleep. Could have happened to anyone. Asked about the sleeping first mate, Captain Dudek said, "It is what he told in his statement, and it looks like it is true." "And how about that alarm, Captain? Might that have helped?" Quote, "Yes, but I forgot. For sure this would not happen if alarm had been used."
And Vladimir Putin was on the boat.
He was.
That's
Nico,
his problem right
Nico,
there.
I know you're used to like the big music industry budgets, but this is public radio. We can only afford one accent. All right, so let me recap. Here you go. One of these employees was very bad. Was it from Alonzo Bowden, a swim instructor who, it turns out, could not swim and got busted when he fell into the deep end? From Nico Case, a plastic surgeon who used shrimp feces instead of Botox for his patients. Or from Adam Felber, a Polish ship captain who tried to go from Scotland to Belgium right through England and did not get very far. Which of these was the real unsuccessful employee in the week's news?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with the ship captain.
Is that your choice then, the ship captain?
Yeah.
All right. So your choice then is Adam's story of the Polish ship captain who forgot about England being in his way. Well, we bring you the special news bulletin covering this case.
Using the wrong navigation gear doesn't explain why no one on the ship steered it away from the rocks. Just a short distance from a huge flashing lighthouse.
That was a report from BBC's Inside Out on the ship captain who forgot about England right in his way. Congratulations, Mike. You got it right. Adam was telling the truth, so you earn a point for Adam. And you, in fact, do win, Carl's voice.
Thank you.
On your home voicemail. Well done. Mike, thank you so much for playing.
Thank you, Peter.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Often frightened, unenlightened,
and now the game where we ask somebody who is cool about something that is lame. Baz Luhrmann's first movie, Strictly Ballroom, was a cheap indie romance set in the world of ballroom dancing. It became an international hit. Since then, he's become well known for his lavish operatic movies like Romeo and Juliet and Moulin Rouge, and most recently, The Great Gatsby. We are so sorry we cannot see his ornate costume, but still, Baz Luhrmann, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. How are you?
I'm thrilled to be here. You're relaxing my innate costume.
I know. Well, I have to ask, your movies are so fabulously over the top in terms of their costumes and their music. And I mean, is that how you live? Do you have like a band?
Well, everyone does expect when they meet me that I've got a top hat and a cane. But no, we live quite a minimal, I wouldn't say it was a normal life, but we live It's the circus life we know, Peter.
I understand. Yeah. Is that how you grew up? I mean, you have such a theatrical imagination. I just imagine you growing up with a traveling circus, at the very least, the daughter of a ballerina.
I grew up in a very isolated, tiny town, and no one ever wins the bet when they say their town was smaller than mine, because it was 11 houses. It was very isolated. And we had a gas station, a farm, and a cinema. But I was always doing pretty much what I'm doing now, which is imagining, creating, telling stories, stuff like that.
And did your parents encourage you in this?
Fantastically so. My father was so intense. He was in the Vietnam War. And, I mean, we had to learn to paint and ballroom dance and do commando training. We were the sort of Renaissance.
Wait a minute. You just said your father was very intense, a Vietnam veteran, and you had to learn to paint and to ballroom dance and to do commando training.
Yes, well, he was in the Navy. He created basically the Navy SEALs in the Navy in Vietnam, so that came into it.
Right. So wait a minute. So he was like, I'm going to send you out in the wilderness with nothing but a knife and a beautiful chiffon gown, and I want you to get back alive? Was it like that?
No. In truth, and this is the truth, he did take myself, my two other brothers, he did dump us in the wilderness with not even a knife, just a rope, right? And on the way back, I found the chiffon gown. But, you know, he really did send us out into the wilderness, absolutely. And you know what?
What?
We were terrified. And when we got back, we found out, of course, he secretly followed us. But he used to do it on a regular basis, actually.
He used to take you out into the wilderness on a regular basis and leave you there?
Yes, absolutely. And we had to find our way home.
I have to ask, how do you think this has affected your art?
Well, it's made me realize that you have to follow your own course, that it's going to be scary, that you have to be well-prepared, well-trained, and hopefully there's someone looking after you.
So what you're basically...
I would get a much more literal lesson from that.
Like?
Lesson, my takeaway from that would be, sometimes Dad abandons me in the wilderness.
But at least I have this rope.
Yeah. And so, I mean, has it given
you've seen my movies, right? I try and explain it in the films. Surely it's clear.
So your last movie was The Great Gatsby, which...
Yes, you can blame me. Yes.
No, it was amazing. It was great. And it's so incredibly lavish and huge in every way. It looked like it must have been a real joy to shoot.
No, it was not. And in fact, the training from Dad came in handy because, I mean, apart from...
You left Leo DiCaprio.
You know, my father abandoned me in the forest. I don't know if I mentioned that.
You mentioned that, yeah.
The thing about it is that, like the book, which is very flashy and seductive, like the Roaring Twenties, like Gatsby's when you meet him, it ultimately comes down to a very simple drama of a few people in a room. But the big thing was I had to create all of Long Island... sunny Long Island in Australia, and it did nothing but rain every single day. So I had the world's best cast in the world's worst situation.
So you went to Australia and you built Long Island in Australia.
Well, Gatsby's mansion is in fact my old high school.
No, is it really?
Yes, it is, with a bit of CG.
So that must have been... I mean, I've heard of people going back to their high school proms to show how successful they are. Or rather, I should say high school reunions, but you actually went back to your high school and used it as a movie set. Did that give you a... Were you popular in high school, or were you one of those out...
No, I was like the... I moved several times. My parents broke up. I ran away. To be honest with you, I wouldn't say I was popular. I don't know. It's being hit on the head with a clump of dirt continually and being jeered at popular. I wasn't really, no.
So, I
mean, I don't understand
why
you need a high school that big for a town with 11 houses.
Well, I ran away and then found my mother, and she put me in that big school.
Oh, I see.
Well,
now, did
the
people hitting you with clumps of dirt realize you had commando training?
You know what? I could handle it. I just sucked it up, you know? And then I waited for my moment.
It must have been. Well, that's what I mean. Like I said, I mean, our usual fantasy, if we're not happy in high school, is I'm going to come back someday, I'm going to be successful, I'm going to show everybody.
That's exactly, I think, what happened.
Did you ever say to yourself when you were having clumps of dirt thrown at your head in high school, someday I'm going to come back here and use the gutted shell of this building as a set for my $200 million movie with the biggest movie star in the world?
I had something like that in mind, yes.
Did you really? Baz Luhrmann, we are so delighted to talk to you, and now it is time to play a game that we're calling...
Guten Tag, Mike.
So you're from Australia?
Mike.
Mike.
Very good.
That was Mike. Good.
Yeah, that is good Australian.
Yeah. Well, you're from Australia, where people are rugged and tough and independent. We're from America, where people are dumb and mix up Australia and Austria. Well, we're going to ask you three questions about that other country, Austria. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice in their voicemail. Carl, who is director Baz Luhrmann playing for?
Baz is playing for Aya Bowman of Mesa, Arizona.
You ready to play?
Sorry, Aya. I can tell you now the chances are very slim. I'll do my best.
All right. With that out of the way, let's go. Here's your first question. Recently, residents of the town of Fuking, excuse me, try that again. Sorry.
Yeah, that's not true.
Yeah, yeah. No idea where this one's going.
Yeah. So there's this
there's
town.
There's Fuking in Australia.
There's this. Oh, yeah? Where do the Australians come from? All right. So there's this town in Austria. And it's pretty well known because its name is Fuking, which is pronounced that way, but spelled like a word in English that's pronounced not quite that way, if you get my drift.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I'll go with you.
All right. So they're getting very tired of having all their signs stolen and people coming and laughing and pointing at the signs. So they tried to change their name. But there was a problem and they couldn't do it. What was the problem? A, they tried to change it to Fuging, Austria, but that name was taken. B, they tried changing it to Making Sweet, Sweet Love, Austria. But the signs still got stolen. Or C, the mayor vetoed the plan on the grounds that he really liked being called the Fuking Mayor.
It's A.
It's A? Fuging? You're right. That's what happened. It turns out there's another town in Austria called Fuging.
Yes, there is. Fuging.
We better get off this topic before someone slips. All right. That's good. You got one right. So they've got McDonald's in Austria, of course, just like everywhere. Well, a few years back, McDonald's Austria showed a controversial ad, caused some controversy. Was it which of these? A, a somber 90-second black and white short film called simply Grimace's Funeral. B, a beautiful full-color photo running in magazines of a baby appearing to breastfeed from a sesame seed bun. Or C, a TV spot with a slogan, translated from the German, don't worry about the name, McDonald's, no actual Irish here.
Like ground up in the burgers?
Maybe.
Yeah. No, it's B.
It's B, the sesame seed bun being the baby breastfeeding from the sesame seed bun.
I think so.
You're right. You're doing very well. Last question. Austria is a great place to visit, and tourists can enjoy which of these unique attractions? A, a trip to the centuries-old Starkenberger Brewery, where you can literally go swimming in a pool of beer. B, the world-famous Uder's Schnitzelhaus, where you can get a Stop Schnitzing t-shirt. Or C, the Vienna sausage restaurant, where the waiters remove that gross goo for you from the can.
It's B.
It's B. It's the Stop Schnitzing t-shirt?
Mm-hmm.
No, it was actually the brewery where you can swim in the beer.
Ah,
For those of you who have that dream. Carl, how did Baz Luhrmann do on our show?
Well, he had two correct answers, Peter. That's enough to win.
You won! You don't need to feel bad.
Can you remind me of the brand of that beer? I kind of like to not serve it.
I don't know if it's
Starkenberger.
Starkenberger beer. Starkenberger beer.
Delicious. People have just been washing their armpits in it.
Baz Luhrmann's latest movie is The Great Gatsby. His new album, which you can get, he produced it, is called Yellow Cocktail Music, The Great Gatsby Jazz Recordings. The movie is The Great Gatsby, and our guest, Baz Luhrmann. Thank you so much for being here. It was really fun to have you.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Kassel. We're playing this week with Adam Felber, Nico Case, and Alonzo Bowden. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. In just a minute, Carl scandalizes all of public radio when he performs his hit song, Blurred Rhymes. Look, by our standards, that was really good. Is our listener Limerick Challenge coming up? If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Adam, John McCain has been one of the most vocal advocates of intervening in Syria. So it made a lot of sense that during Tuesday's long hearing about doing just that, McCain was photographed doing what?
Playing poker on his iPhone.
That's exactly right, Adam.
Yeah.
He was caught doing this during the Senate hearing. It was a departure from his usual iPhone game of choice, Angry Senators. You can't really blame him, though. Even a man who endured torture for years in a Vietnamese prison camp cannot bear to hear John Kerry go on for 3 hours straight.
But how do you knock a 140-year-old man who can use an iPhone?
That's true.
I mean, do you understand? This is the only man who saw the invention of the phone.
Right. Mm-hmm. Isn't it amazing?
And the iPhone.
Right.
Like, he was around for both, so you have to give him, some
it's true. Nico, you can rent a car, you can rent a cop, and now thanks to a small business in Pennsylvania, you can also rent a what?
I rent a lot of things. I'm trying to think of something I wouldn't have thought of.
What's the oddest thing you've rented?
A sword.
That's rented, pretty odd.
I rented two on the same day, actually.
Really?
I'm going to go with sword.
That's not the answer, but I'm curious. Were you thinking of stabbing somebody, but you weren't ready to commit? What?
No, it was for a photo shoot.
Oh, okay.
But it was awesome.
I bet. Back to the question. I'll give you a hint. Why did it cross the road? Because you rented it for the next month.
A chicken?
You can rent a chicken. Rent a chicken.
Oh.
If you're too chicken to buy a chicken, you can now rent a chicken. For $350, a company called Rent the Chicken will deliver to you two hens, a chicken coop, and annoyed phone calls from your neighbors at 4:30 a.m. The process begins when they walk you around the chicken, and they mark any previous damage the chicken might have.
Its cloaca is dented. We can't accept this chicken. We're sorry. We're billing this to your MasterCard.
But apparently this is for people who, like, you know, think they might want to own chickens and are ready, so they'll rent the chickens. They'll see how it goes.
Don't let them talk you into the undercoating.
That's terrible. Adam, a lot of cars have keyless entry, you know. That's where the car can sense a transmitter in your pocket, starts right up for you. Mm-hmm. Well, the Japanese have invented a system in which you can start a car with your what?
Mind!
You didn't even wait for him to be done.
No, he knew. He was using that power.
His not car is mind. Running.
Yeah, not now. Yeah. Not your mind.
I just started my car. Your phone.
No.
Your chicken. Go, Clucky. Start car. I'll take a hint on this one.
The system is installed. This is true in the seat.
Oh, so you just with your butt. You sit down.
You start the car with your butt. Yes.
Okay. Is it individuated?
It is.
It knows your butt.
This is the thing.
You can never lend your friend your car.
Exactly. That's what everybody says. Here's the thing. We know about fingerprint recognition and facial recognition. It's inevitable that we get to this day, butt recognition.
Oh, that is such a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Why?
Because when do you really need your car to start? When you've injured your butt. And because you've injured it, the car doesn't recognize you. You can't drive to the hospital. It's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
How lazy do the Japanese think we Americans are? That they're like, oh, they can't lift their hand and press the button. That's too much work to start the car. Just let them sit their fat ass in the seat. And away we go.
We kind of deserve that one, maybe. Yeah.
Coming up, it's lightning, fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924, or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows right here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our first ever show in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, coming up on September 26th. And be sure to check out the latest How to Do Everything podcast. This week, Mike and Ian tell you how to get out of jury duty with dignity and honor. Hi, you're on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Cameo, calling from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Cameo?
That's me.
That's a great name.
Thank you.
I'm now going to make the jokes that you've heard many times.
Oh, I think you'll probably be the first.
Do you like doing surprise appearances in other people's films?
It's my specialty.
I bet. No, I have to ask, how did you get the name Cameo?
Well, my parents saw it written in the sand on the night I was conceived.
No, really?
No, it was in a basement.
You had me. What's the real story?
It was in a name book. They wanted something different but spellable, and here I am.
And so how have you enjoyed being a cameo for your life?
I think it's pretty great. I've only met one other, and I was way cooler.
There you are. Carl Castle Cameo is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly on two of the limericks, you'll be a big winner. Ready to play?
I hope so.
All right, here's your first limerick.
My Jag survived hail's heavy pelting. It's a marvel of fine English smelting. But parked on the street, it could not take the heat. Like the Witch of the West, my car's
melting.
Yes, very good. London's newest skyscraper has a teeny design flaw. It's curved in such a way so that it acts like a magnifying glass, focusing and reflecting sunlight into a white-hot death ray that has melted at least one Jaguar to slag. It's a problem, but they've taken it as an opportunity to install some highly effective signs such as, if you dare to park here, you will be punished by the blinding fire of a wrathful god.
Isn't that literally something a James Bond villain would have done to James's car?
It's true. Once the story broke that this had happened, this is true, a reporter to check it out went to the sidewalk at that spot to see if he could fry an egg using the reflected light from the building, but he had to stop the experiment because his hair caught on fire. He's like, well, here we go. The egg doesn't seem to be cooking. What is that smell? All right, here's your next limerick, Cameo.
As the junk food aisle looms ever nearer, my weight gain could not be made clearer. My cart has a place that shows me my face. I'm shamed as I look in the
mirror.
Yes, indeed. Mirror. What better reminder would there be to stick to your diet than your own face? So, researchers in Texas installed mirrors in shopping carts. So you'll look down and be like, okay, there's milk, and there's the Funyuns, and there's a giant, hideous potato staring back at me. Oh, my God, no! So when you see the mirror in your shopping cart, you have two choices. You can put the junk food back, try to live healthier, or, more easily, just pile up more junk food till it covers the mirror.
Wow. We're having a big special this week at Self-Loathing Mart. Come on down!
All right, here, Cameo, is your last limerick.
Heights scare me, just ask my fiancé. Don't let Ferris wheels, I might be on sway. I go on, then up top, the ride simply stopped for that R&B diva.
Beyoncé.
Beyoncé, yes! So this woman who lives on Coney Island, right, in New York City, she's terrified of heights. She decides finally to go on the Ferris wheel at the amusement park to see if she can get over her fear of heights. And she gets stuck at the top for an hour and a half because they stopped it for Beyoncé to get on board the Ferris wheel for a photo shoot. So get ready for Beyoncé's new video under the heartfelt R&B ballad. You can hear a very special background singer way in the distance going, oh God, oh God, oh God, sweet Jesus, get me off of you, please. Carl, how did Cameo do in our quiz?
Three correct answers, Peter. So Cameo, I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Well done. Thank you so much for playing, Cameo. It was great to talk to you.
Oh, I had lots of fun.
Bye bye.
All the single ladies, 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 all the single ladies. Now put your hands up.
Now it's time to move on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Adam Felber has the lead, Peter. He has 4 points. Nico Case and Alonzo Bowden, they're tied for second. They both have 2 points.
Okay. So we flipped a coin. Nico has elected to go second. So, Alonzo, you're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question, fill-in-the-blank. On Tuesday, Dennis Rodman arrived in blank to hang out with his friend Kim Jong-un.
North Korea.
Right. Last Friday was the last day in office for Bob Filner, the embattled, sexually harassing mayor of blank.
San Diego.
Right. Microsoft announced on Monday that it is buying blank's line of smartphones.
Nokia.
Yes. A Lufthansa flight was forced to make an emergency landing this week when passengers started complaining about blank.
The smell?
Yeah, the smelly carpets. After a 12-week break on Thursday, blank returned to The Daily Show.
Jon Stewart.
Right. Jennifer Lopez, Harry Connick Jr., and Keith Urban were announced as the new judges on the reality show blank.
American Idol.
Right. A landlord who rents to college students in Wales says he's spent thousands of dollars replacing hundreds of mattresses ruined by blank.
Ooh.
Let me whisper it in here.
Go whisper it in.
Bronzer. Artificial tan. Artificial tan?
Yeah.
How would a black man know that?
Was correct. The answer was basically a bronzer, fake tanning cream. The landlord was mystified when he found a person-shaped orange stain soaked in to the mattress of a bed in his apartment building.
He thought, known as the Shroud of Boehner.
Carl, how did Alonzo do in our quiz?
6 correct answers, 12 more points. He now has 14 points, and Alonzo has the lead.
All right, very good. All right. Nico, you're up next. You ready?
Mm.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
I recommend for you a stream of consciousness approach. not for your benefit so much as for ours, but really,
okay.
Whatever works. Here we go. Fill in the blank, Nico. On Wednesday, the Department of Veterans Affairs announced it would begin extending spousal benefits to blank couples.
Gay couples.
Yes, indeed. California prison officials announced Thursday that their inmates' 60-day blank had ended.
Lent?
No. Hunger strike. The supermarket chain Aldi has confirmed that there is horse meat in its beef products, but no more than blank percent.
5%?
100%. In some cases. After the 2016 Olympics in Rio, champion sprinter blank announced that he will retire.
I think the last time I watched the Olympics... The Olympic sprinter was...
Jesse Owens?
No. No.
Can I whisper in her ear?
Yes.
Usain Bolt.
Usain Bolt.
Yes, Usain Bolt. On Wednesday, the search engine blank revealed its first new logo in 18 years, which looks remarkably like its old logo.
Google?
No, Yahoo. A man's plan to smuggle live fish into New Zealand failed miserably when officials noticed he had blank. Wet pants. They noticed he was smuggling fish because he had wet pants. If you're going to try to smuggle live fish, do not put them in your pants. The man had successfully stuffed his pants with plastic bags filled with water and fish. Things were going fine until he sprung a leak.
He should have got a stadium buddy first.
Yeah, he should have, exactly. Officials were quick to catch on, with one perceptive official saying, quote, "This appears to be a deliberate attempt to smuggle fish into the country." Carl, how did Nico do on our show?
She had 2 more correct answers for 4 more points. She now has 6 points and second place.
That's awesome. Got to start somewhere. And how many does Adam need to win?
6 points to win.
All right. Here we go, Adam. This is for the game. In a speech Wednesday, Bill Clinton urged uninsured Americans to sign up for blank.
Healthcare.
Well, yeah, Obamacare. Chobani announced it was recalling some of its blank because of mold and customer illnesses.
Yogurt.
Yes, Greek yogurt. The New England Patriots this week released beloved but not very good quarterback blank.
Tebow.
Tim Tebow. Residents of Sweden were warned to be careful after a man was threatened in his own yard by a blank.
Goose.
Gang of Drunken Moose.
Oh, sure.
On Tuesday, John McCain said that Vladimir Putin needs to return New England Patriot owner Robert Kraft's blank.
Super Bowl ring.
Right. PBS fans were thrilled with the announcement that blank, the science guy, will compete on this season's Dancing with the Stars.
Bill Nye.
Right. Just weeks after Alex Rodriguez was suspended from baseball for using performance-enhancing drugs, he has appealed. Cleveland Indians pitcher Chris Perez was fined for blanking.
Spitting.
No. For mailing marijuana to his dog.
Oh, right.
The package contained 9 ounces of marijuana. It was addressed to Brody the dog, who amazingly is smart enough to read his own name on mail.
I thought the pitcher's explanation was great.
What did he say?
What can I do? The dog's got a problem.
Yeah. No word if it was a drug-sniffing dog that detected the weed in the package, but if it was, not cool, man. Not cool. Carl, did Adam do well enough to win?
He needed 6 correct answers to win. He had just 5 correct answers. So at 16 points, Alonzo Bowden is this week's champion.
Wow, well done.
All right.
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict, after swimming from Cuba to Florida, what will Diana Nyad, surprisingly, cough up. But first, let me tell you that support for our Chicago shows is provided by Hyatt Hotels in downtown Chicago. Booking information is at Hyatt.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and CarMax, offering more than 35,000 used cars and trucks online and in stores from coast to coast. Learn more at CarMax.com. The National Association of Realtors, an advocate for home ownership. More at HouseLogic.com/homeownership. Charles Schwab, working to help investors take control of their financial future. Charles Schwab. Own your tomorrow. Learn more at Schwab.com. And Kobo, with e-readers and more than 3.5 million e-book, newspaper, and magazine titles at independent bookstores, IndieBound.org. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our assistant house manager is Tyler James Green. Our intern is the magnificent Miles Dernboss. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Stolarczyk and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank, BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Our production coordinator is Sherlock Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog, and the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Linwood Danforth. That's right, I'm a little mad at it. Now, panel, what will Diana Nyad spit out after all that time in the water? Alonzo Bowden.
The Cuban refugee who was swimming in front of her.
Adam Felber.
A surprising amount of the Deepwater Horizon.
And Nico Case.
Smuggled exotic tropical fish.
Well, if Diana Nyad produces any of those things, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Alonzo Bowden, Adam Felber, and a big welcome to Nico Case. It's been a great job. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sengel, and we'll see you next week. This is NPR.